Now take your Bibles, your tablets, your phones in hand now, please, and turn to the passage of God's Word that we read together from the Old Testament Scriptures, from the book of Isaiah in chapter 40. And we're going to consider with God's help today a well-known words that we find from verse 30 to the end of the chapter. We're continuing this series of studies for the summer mornings in terms of considering what it is that God speaks to us in terms of the various animals he's created, what it is that we're able to learn spiritually from the animals themselves. And here we read in Isaiah 40 and from verse 30, "Even youth shall be faint and weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up with wings like eagles." It is that there are those of us who are of a certain vintage today, and it is that we can look back to days when we felt invincible, when it is that we felt we knew it all, when it is that we felt we were strong and that we would live forever. But now as the decades have rolled by and we find ourselves at a certain stage in life, we know that we're not invincible, we know that we didn't know it all. We certainly know now that we won't live forever because we're closer maybe than perhaps in recent times to that moment when we must depart this world. And it is that perhaps we don't feel the strength even physically, mentally, psychologically that was once ours when it was that we were younger. And it is that all of us without exception that we have to cope with a tiredness, especially when we get older, that seems to stay longer and that it's harder to get rid of. I remember when it was that I could go, say, one or two, three late nights, and it is that I could get through the rest of the week. But now it is that I maybe have one late night, it takes me the rest of the week to recover and to have the strength that I had at the beginning of the week. And it's unfortunately one of the plights due to the fact that we're found in these fleshly bodies, these sinful bodies, and it is that even for those of us who are the redeemed of God today, that it's a reminder to us that our strength is exhaustible. That it is that we're not superhuman creatures, and it is that not being supermen or superwomen today, that our strength very quickly runs out, and it is that we face the common problems of weariness. And so the question that I want to consider this morning is this: do you need or do you know what it is that you can find that inexhaustible source of strength, not only for this life, but for the life that is to come? Wouldn't it be fantastic if it were the case that as we left here this morning, that we could face the rest of our lives, no matter how short or how long it is that we've got left to us in this scene of world, and that we were able to do so with a seemingly inexhaustible source of strength? And that's precisely the point to which it is that our text this morning points to. Because you see, in this passage and in this place in Isaiah chapter 40, it is that Isaiah points to two realities. One is a very obvious reality, and the reality is that all of us, without exception, we all grow weary. It is that perhaps in our younger days, that wasn't the case, but let me assure you, those who are young here this morning, that the days are coming when it is that at times you will feel very weary. But it is that the prophet, by the Spirit, is also reminding us of a reality that is a deeper reality. And it's the reality that as we act as people of faith, that as we trust in our God and are expectantly waiting upon our God, that it is that God himself provides his people with an inexhaustible strength that the world knows nothing of and that the world itself is not able to give us. So the real question for you here this morning to try and ask is this: which reality is it that you're willing to settle for? That when you leave this place of worship this morning, is it reality of trusting in your own physical strength, even your own mental strength, or will it be the case of trusting in the reality of the strength that God himself has promised to give you so that you will not be weary and that you shall walk and not faint? So what is it then that we can learn from what Isaiah says here? Well, there's a number of things in the time that's left to us. First thing I think that the prophet points to is vulnerability. All of us, he's telling us, are vulnerable. And in particular, it is that I think he's talking about the vulnerability of a weary soul. Look at what he says in verse 30. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." And what has been spoken here by Isaiah is something that is obvious to each one of us. And it's the truth that all of us are destined eventually to become a weary. In fact, it is that these verses, I think, address those of us who are of that younger generation in particular. That it is that when you're young, you don't really realize, and you can't perhaps comprehend, that it is that your strength levels and the stamina that seems to be yours at this point, that eventually it will diminish. That it is that when you look in the mirror and you think you look good, that it is that eventually there's a day coming when you look in the mirror and you'll say to yourself, when I don't look so good as I once did, that it is that I don't have the hair that I once had, that it is that my face has wrinkles that I never thought would ever be there, and so on. And it is that those of us who have experienced the passing years understand full well that the vitality of our youth doesn't last forever. That it is that there are realities that all of us have to face, and it is that the day and generation in which we live doesn't want to face these realities. We can think of it in terms of Botox. We can think of it in terms of facelifts and whatever else it is, of fillers of one sort or another. And even the wide-eyed buoyancy and expectancy that some young people have today, that there comes a point when these things are replaced with more sober anticipations, and it is that they're tempered by the burdens of what it means to grow old and hopefully grow wiser as well. You see, that's the reality of growing older. And I think it is that one of the marks of maturity as we grow older is facing life squarely as it is. That it is that days of difficulty of one sort or another, that they will come. Now, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But in the process, it is that at times we grow weary. And when it is that we grow weary, we become very vulnerable. Is that not what Jesus said to his disciples, you remember, when it is that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he came back and he'd said to them already, waken up, you're sleeping. And then it is that he comes back and he says, you're still sleeping? I want you to know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And all of us here today, without exception, we know the truth of what it was that Jesus he was saying. That it is that however strong or weak we are, and particularly when it is that we're physically tired and weary, that it is then that we become spiritually in a dangerous position. You see, when you become weary, you become defenseless against the enemy. That is, the Lord's people were like a weary sheep to the wolf. And it is that Satan, the enemy of our souls, like the wolf, he waits for the weary straggler to fall behind the flock, and he pounces upon that easy prey. Now, the scripture is full of examples of this, particularly in the Old Testament. Listen to what you read in Deuteronomy 25 and from verse 17. Remember what Amalek did to you along the way when you came out from Egypt, how he met you along the way and attacked you and attacked among you all the stragglers at your rear when you were faint and weary, and he did not fear God. It was, there were stragglers. There were those who were faint and weary, and it is that the enemy of God's people went for the easy target. Is that the way it is with you here today this morning? That it is, in spiritual terms, you're a straggler? That in spiritual terms, that you don't know the strength that you should know and have? Because it is that you're not feeding your soul upon God's word? That it is that you're not found in the place of prayer? That it is that you're not taking up the shield of faith whereby you might be able to resist the fiery darts that the evil one would fire at you? It's something that you need to be really careful about. Listen to 2 Samuel 17 from the beginning. Furthermore, Ahithophel said to Absalom, please let me choose 12,000 men that I may arise and pursue David tonight. And I will come upon him while he is weary and exhausted and will terrify him so that all the people who are with him will flee. Then I will strike down the king alone. And here you've got Ahithophel's offer to Absalom, and it is that he's saying to Absalom, attack David while it is that he's exhausted. attack David while it is that he's weary. And basically what it is that Ahithophel was doing is that what he said was indicative of the devil's strategy. And it's a reminder to us that when we become weary, we are defenseless against the enemy. And that's why it is that the writer to the Hebrews exhorts us to consider the one who endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Why? So that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Am I speaking to somebody like that here today? And it is that for whatever reason, you're growing weary. That it is that perhaps now, even for many weeks, there's been a weariness that has characterized your soul and your spiritual pilgrimage. And even coming to the Lord's house this morning, there's a sense in which you are dragging your feet. And you're finding it difficult even now to concentrate on the things that really matter concerning your life and concerning your soul. What does the word say to you? Consider Jesus. Look to Jesus. Consider the one who experienced everything that you will ever experience, and yet it was that he was without sin. Consider the one who has promised you that he will not leave you nor forsake you, but that he is with you even until the very end of the age itself. In other words, when do you go to bed? Do you get a proper night's rest? Is it something that you take care of in terms even of your physical well-being? I can remember when I was younger, sometimes I would go to church on the Lord's Day morning. This was before I was a Christian. And it is that I'd been out partying the night before. And I'd maybe get in at 4 in the morning. And then I knew I had to get up because my parents would make sure that I was up and in God's house on the Lord's Day. And I'd be sitting there in the pew, and the poor minister, when I think back, there he is preaching his heart out. And I'm there going like this all the time. It must have been depressing for him to see me like that. And the reason was because I wasn't getting enough sleep. And that in itself, in the day and age in which we live, is a problem that even we as the Lord's people can face. That at the end of a week, and as we come to God's house on the Lord's Day, far less spiritually are we physically tired. And we need to perhaps begin to consider, what is it that's causing us to feel so weary physically, far less spiritually, when we get to God's house on his day? And so it is that we're vulnerable. It is that when we're weary, it is that our vision is affected as well. What do I mean by that? Well, it is that we lose our proper perspective. Listen to Genesis 25 and from verse 29. And it's there that you've got the account of Esau selling his birthright. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I'm about to die. What use is birthright to me?" And so it was that Esau despised his birthright. And what's striking and yet so very simple in this account is that the reason that Esau sold his birthright was because he was exhausted. He was exhausted physically. He was tired. He was weary and he was hungry. And what it's saying to us is, I think, this, that weariness, even physical and mental weariness, that it makes you more attentive to your physical and emotional needs than your spiritual needs. Think of the birthright that he despised. Think of Prince Harry. How many of us in the past few years, we've been absolutely amazed at what it is that Prince Harry has done. That it is that he's despised his birthright. Everything that in terms of the royal household, going back centuries, as far as he's concerned, I don't want to have anything to do with it. How many of us have sort of said, wow, he's insane doing that, despising his birthright. How much more concerning Esau, despising his birthright? And it was because he was physically weary and tired. And he ends up losing his proper perspective. And that's what can happen to us. It is that when we're physically and mentally tired, we forget what is really important, and it is that we miss out on the blessing of God. It is that things don't look to us in the way that they should look to us, because we're only looking through weary physical eyes. But the scripture is saying to us that what we need is spiritual vision. What it is that we need is that a clear and certain eye that God alone can give us, that enables us to look beyond and behind the physical things of this world and to consider the spiritual realities that are there, that are just as it were a breath away from us, and that it is that with the eye of faith that we might be enabled to behold something of Christ's beauty and Christ's majesty. You remember the account in the Old Testament of Elisha, and how it is that in the morning his servant came out of the tent, and he looked up and he saw the enemy troops all around him, and he's terrified. And it is that we read this in 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha prayed, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That's what we need to be praying for, that God would give to us such a vision, such a perspective on life, even in the midst of the enemies that seem to be encroaching around us everywhere at this time. It is, it seems, Jim was reminding me, and it sent a shiver up my spine. We know that the Olympics are on in Paris in France at the moment. Well, it seems that it was 100 years ago, just about this time. I don't know the exact date, but it is that Eric Liddell, the Scottish missionary, and it is that he refused to run for the 100 meters, I think it was, on the Lord's Day, the finals. And it is that he considered a shame, as it were, in the world's eyes for trusting in the Lord, that he took a stand. And there in the Presbyterian Church in Paris on that Lord's Day, what passage was he reading from? He was reading from Isaiah 40. And he was reading the verses that we're considering this morning. And think how it was that even though he had royalty, even though there was great pressure coming in upon him to desecrate the Lord's Day, he said no. Why? Because he saw heavenly realities. He saw what it was that awaited him, and he knew that if it was that he didn't obey God, then it would be that which was damaging to his witness and to his soul. And we need to have that spirit more and more of Eric Liddell, when it is that we take a stand for the things of Christ. We saw in Paris in recent days that the woke brigade and everything that goes along with them, that they're not afraid to take their stand. They're not afraid to mock the things of the gospel. And where is it that we are as the Lord's people at this time? Perhaps it is that we're not taking the stand that we should be taking. And we need to pray, "Lord, open my eyes that I might behold great and wondrous things from out of your law, and that I might be able to see Jesus Christ. And when I see him, that I might yearn more and more to live for him." When it is that we grow weary, it is that we're susceptible to despair and depression. I'm sure some of us here today, there have been moments in our life and we've been depressed. There's been moments in our life when it is that perhaps there's, for whatever reason, there's a sense of despair that has gripped us. It's very easy for a weary person to want to throw up their hands and quit. It's so easy to be negative and critical when you're weary. It's easy to feel that everyone is against you. And it's easy to feel so sorry for yourself when it is that you're weary. I came across this, that when you're weary, you become like the man who had both an identity crisis and energy crisis, and it was this. He didn't know who he was, but he was too tired to find out. Maybe that's the way for some of us here today, that we don't really know who we are, and particularly with regard to the person of Jesus Christ, but it is that we're too tired to find out. So there's a vulnerability that comes to us because of our fleshliness and because of weary souls. But the second thing that I think we find here is not just vulnerability, but vitality. And it's the vitality of a waiting saint. Look at Isaiah 40 and 31. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. In other words, there's something that you have to do if it is that you're weary and tired. You have to learn to wait upon the Lord. Now, what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Well, if you're like me, at times you don't like waiting. You don't like waiting at red traffic lights. You don't like waiting in the queues at the store. You don't like waiting in terms of the automated voice that takes you through about 100 options on the phone until you actually speak to someone. You don't like waiting when it was that you were younger. It is that you wanted to be older, and now it is that you're older, you want to be younger again. That it is that life seems to change in so many ways. And all of us can't escape the web of waiting. And because of this, patience is an essential quality of a life that is pleasing to God. Every day presents opportunities for what I've termed as weight training. It is that some of us here, we do weight training. We lift the weights. It is that our muscles get stronger. It is that we're able to lift heavier burdens of one sort or another. Well, it's the same in spiritual terms, that if it is that we exercise our souls in terms of waiting upon the Lord, that it is that our souls get stronger and we're able to bear greater burdens in terms of our walk with Christ. And the Bible is replete with exhortations that we would be a people who are continually waiting on the Lord. Listen to Psalm 25 and 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you're the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. Psalm 37 and from 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way. But those that wait upon the Lord, what shall they do? They shall inherit the earth. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and he heard my cry. Psalm 62 and 1, truly my soul waits upon God. From him comes my salvation. Psalm 123 and 2, behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and so on, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. Psalm 130 and 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word I hope. Time and time and time and time again, the Spirit through the psalmist is saying to us that if we would want to know strength, if we would want to know blessing, then it is that we must be a people of spiritual patience, and that involves waiting upon the Lord. Are you doing that? Am I? Micah 7. I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Are you waiting upon God? You see, sometimes it is, and I think that we get it the wrong way around. We think that if we're constantly busy for the Lord, that it is that we're in the Lord's will and prosecuting the Lord's will in our lives. And yet it seems to be that the Scripture is saying to us that if we truly would wish to know what it means to trust in the Lord, then one of the ways that that will be expressed is that we wait upon the Lord. You see, waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort, but waiting for God means activity under command. Waiting for God means readiness for any new command that may come. And waiting for God means the ability, in a sense, to do nothing until it is that God gives the command that we do something. And that's not easy for us at times, because we constantly want things to be done, not just today, but yesterday. And the Lord says to us, no, wait. The word that's translated as wait here has also got the idea within it of something that's entrenched. And it's as though the prophet is saying to us that God works for him that entrenches himself or herself in God. And the idea of waiting for God is that of digging ourselves into God. I remember reading it in the First World War, that in the UK, that there was a saying that people had to dig for the war. And it is that there were many people, even where it was that they lived, and they would take their shovels and they would be digging entrenchments in case it was that bombs would fall. Have we been digging deep in terms of waiting on God, entrenching ourselves, being found in that place that he would have us make, that he might bestow his blessing upon us? You see, it is that waiting, in a sense, is far more difficult than working. It really is. It's counterintuitive. But waiting at times is far more difficult than working. Why? Because waiting requires true strength, true spiritual strength. Waiting requires the mindset of the Almighty himself. You think of Abraham. And it is that God revealed himself to him. 25 years. And it is that Sarah, she couldn't wait. She said, take my maidservant and have a child through her. And you can imagine Abram waiting 25 years. What about in terms of, we read of Anna and Simeon in the temple. And it seems that they've been waiting for decades for the coming Messiah. And it is that as his parents bring the infant child Christ into the temple, they rejoice because they had waited, they trusted in God, and they knew that he would not fail in his promise. Is there anybody like that here today? You're weary because you've been praying perhaps for decades. I remember my wife and I, we'd been praying for a family member, and we'd been praying for over 20 years. And we eventually stopped praying. Why? Because we grew weary. We thought, the Lord's not going to, he's not answering our prayer. And within about a year or so of us knowing we'd stopped praying, the Lord changed that person's life. And how rebuked we were that we hadn't waited upon the Lord as we should have done, that we began to lose faith in the fact that he had promised us that he would hear and answer our prayers. Is there anybody like that here today? And you've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting? The Lord says to you, even from his word, wait upon me, be entrenched in me, for you shall renew your strength. That it is that you shall be strong. And look at the impact, how that is expressed. Those who wait on me, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. Here we're coming to the animal. It's been a long time, but you've waited. And here we're now coming to what it is that the eagle, why the Lord uses the eagle as an example here. How do we fly? I mean, if I kept going like that as fast as I could, I'd still stay here. I'm too heavy anyway. But I would still stay rooted to the spot. And sometimes spiritually, that's the way it can feel. And the Lord here through the prophet is saying to us, my people are a people who are able to soar. My people are a people who are able to soar on the current of the Spirit. Or to fly into the heights of heaven itself. How do we do that? Well, how does an eagle learn to fly? Well, it seems that for the little eaglet when it's born, life couldn't be better for it. It's got a nice cozy nest. And it is that the mother eagle, she goes away, she gets food, she brings it back to the eaglet. And it is that life in the nest is filled with joy for the little eaglet. And every person who's a believer in Christ, you think back to when you first came to faith in Christ. Life couldn't be better. You knew of great joy and happiness in terms of being born from above and what it meant to be a believer in Christ. We're immediately filled with joy. God answers prayer. And it is that we're thankful for that. But then it is that there's one day that the mother eagle doesn't bring a kill. She hovers and soars around above the nest. Then she tears the nest apart. You can imagine the little eaglet sort of going, whoa, what's going on here? And not only does she tear the nest apart, but then she pushes the little eagle off the cliff. And the little eagle's there falling, crying out, she's killing me, she's killing me, as it tumbles helplessly through the air. And then all of a sudden it hears the whirr coming up behind it, and there are the great wings, and there's its mother, and it soars right under the little eagle. It lands on her back, and it is that she takes the little eaglet back to the cliff edge. And then as it catches its breath, she knocks the eaglet off the ledge again, and the whole process starts over again. You see the process, even for us as Christians. Sometimes we pretend that nothing bad is going to happen to us, and yet it is that we're being told that nothing further it could be from the truth. And after several falls, the eagle asks the question, what is my mother trying to teach me? Surely my mother loves me. Surely she wouldn't want to destroy me. Again, the mother comes, knocks the little eaglet off the edge of the cliff. And then the little eaglet puts its wings out. And rather awkwardly, it realizes, hey, I'm not falling, I'm flying. And it is that it begins to fly in a way that it never thought it could. And it's never done this before, but soon it's learning the mystery of the air currents. And how if it is that it picks the right air current, it really has to do nothing, but the air current itself lifts the eaglet high like its mother. You remember Job said, he knows the way I take, when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. That's what's happening with the eaglet. God is the mother eagle, maybe orchestrating certain events in your life today, and out of love, in order to teach you the mysteries of the air currents of the Spirit of God. And the reason that perhaps you feel that you're tumbling out of control is because you're not stretching out the wings of faith. And it is that you're not being caught up by the Spirit of God and soaring even into your experience of God's will for you. So I think the church in the West today, that it's filled with perpetual cripples. Why? Because we've all copped out of our flying lessons before it is that we began to recognize that in Christ we can soar into the heavens. And we complain and we whine and we blame others for the fact that we hardly seem to be able to get off the ground spiritually. And God is saying to us, no, you're not soaring with the help of my Spirit. And remember, it is that God may strip you of everything that you have to get you to the point where it is that you begin to climb and to soar. Where are you today? Are you, spiritually speaking, soaring? You see, you can't soar until you die to self. You can't soar until it is that you take your hand off the things of the world that are weighing you down. You can't soar until it is that the mindset that you have is the mind of Christ, that it is that you're able to see heavenly and spiritual realities and come to recognize that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, even though it is that the world may be saying that you're mad. How is it with us today? Are we soaring? Are we asking God for the Spirit or for the uplifting power of the Spirit? Listen to what the Lord himself says to his people in Exodus. I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God is able to do that for you today, that you might mount up with wings like eagles. The eagle that sees the storm coming, what does it do? Flies toward the storm, and then as the storm's about to hit it, is able to rise above the storm. Do you have a storm coming toward you today, even as it's done in the past, and you're terrified that you're going to be blown about, my friend. You can mount up with wings like eagles. And it is, you can not only fly at the storm, but you can fly above it with the strength and the grace of Jesus Christ. Or are you a turkey? Are you offended by that? Well, a turkey lives in the dark woods. Why? Because the turkey's scared. The turkey's a bird of fear. It tastes good. We're all thankful for it. But the turkey fears, as fear brings bondage. The turkey never soars. The turkey is always bound to the earth. What am I, an eagle or a turkey? What are you today, an eagle or a turkey? You see, the eagle is a beautiful and powerful creature, 12-foot wingspan, magnificent. And that's what we are in Christ, new creatures, magnificent. In the fact that the Spirit of God is conforming us daily ever closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing is, and I say this in closing, the eagle doesn't live forever, magnificent as the eagle may be. But the eagle knows when it's about to die. It knows when it's about to die. What does it do when it's about to die? It starts to soar, and then it turns its face to the sun. And as it's looking into the sun, there's no more. We know that we will die. All of us. You younger ones here, and I know some of you, you're fit, you're strong, you're healthy. But know this, my friend, that one day you will be my age. One day you will be weary. One day you will be tired. One day you will recognize that you have no more strength, and maybe the Lord will allow you one day to be lying in your deathbed. And who is it you will be looking to in that day? Will you be looking to the Son of Righteousness who rises with healing in his wings? Oh, that would be the case, and it can be. Why? Because the Word of God tells us that we can mount up with wings like eagles. And even when it is that we come to that moment when we must leave this world, we can do so flying, soaring on into glory. To be with Christ and to be like Christ. Just the other week, as you know, there's a park behind where we live. And I was walking in the park this day, and all of a sudden, I heard this sort of whooshing sound. Now, it wasn't an eagle, but it was two massive hawks. I don't know what type they were. They were massive. And I saw one of them. He went on the ground, and I was standing watching him. I started to speak to him. I mean, stupid. As though he's going to go speak back to me and say, "Hey, Alan, yeah, good to see you today. How are you doing?" But I started to speak to him. Then all he had to do was this. He put his wings out. And even from the ground, he must have felt an air current. Up he went. Flew away. Magnificent. Oh, much more so. The believer rising on the current of God's Spirit and on into glory. May it be that all of us today might be those who wait for the Lord and are able to mount up on wings like eagles. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Father, it is that we thank you for your word. And we thank you that you're the God of creation, that it is that even the very animals, the birds, the fish, all the animals of this world, you've created them. And we thank you for the beauty and the magnificence of the eagle. And we pray that we might learn from it, that we might consider seriously where it is that we are today and how we are with regard to Jesus Christ. We pray if we are still earthly bound to the earth because of our love for the things of this world. Oh, we pray that you today might break the bonds that hold us to this earth and that we might, with the help of His Spirit, soar in terms of our souls, and look unto Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Go with us then throughout the remainder of the day. If it be your will, gather us again this evening for the praise and worship of your name. And it is that we ask these things with the forgiveness of sin in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.